Good morning and thank you for tuning in to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the wonderful St. Helena Farmers Market. And you can also stream the show live on kvon.com. We must start by thanking KVON for allowing us to share the stories of some of our vendors, our local luminaries and stewards of the farming community. And we are incredibly excited to be here in their beautiful new studio today. My name is Wendy Straw and I'm the board president for the St. Helena Farmers Market. And we are halfway through our 33rd season of the market, which runs every Friday, May through October, 7:30 to noon. And we are so very grateful to our wonderful shoppers, our vendors, our donors, our sponsors, and all the community organizations that support us. So for our listeners, the market is based at beautiful Crane Park. It's on the west side of the high school as you come into town. You'll see the tractor signboards, and it's just a beautiful location amongst the vineyards and redwood trees, and we hope all of today's listeners will come out and visit us on Friday mornings. I have three very special guests with me this morning. I have Jeff Mizell, Vice President of Brand Development for Long Meadow Ranch, Sandy Sargent, Director of Health Services for Pacific Union College, and Jared Picard, owner of Be Here Farm and Nature, which is a very popular grower at the market. So I'm delighted to welcome Jeff Mizell, Vice President of Brand Development for Long Meadow Ranch, which is a great supporter of the St. Helena Farmers Market. So Jeff, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to join the team of Long Meadow Ranch.
Sure, good morning, Wendy. Thanks for having me. So for me, I actually came to Napa Valley over 20 years ago when I first moved out from New York City as a young 20-something and dove deep into the food and wine industry here in Napa. And my career has taken me through importing wines, biodynamic growers, organic growers throughout Europe and South America, and did that for a long time, and then kind of went back to my entrepreneurial spirit, launched a retail business of luxury wine and spirits, and after that kind of shut down spectacularly with bad investors, I decided it's great to work with people of high integrity and incredible high-quality product, and that led me to working for Long Meadow Ranch about 3 years ago. I've known the Hall family, Chris, Ted, and Laddie for many years, and so working with them was just a perfect fit and a great way for me to return to my Napa Valley roots.
Good for you, and we're happy to have you with us. So as you know, Laddie Hall, who's a long-standing board member and vendor at our farmers market, was our first guest on the radio show last year. Laddie spoke about the history of the market and the logistics of being a vendor and the preparation for market day every week, which Jared will only know so well. So under the guidance of Ted and Laddie Hall and their son Chris, we've seen Long Meadow Ranch develop over the years into this beautiful, multifaceted operation. So give us an overview of the various entities that are involved.
Sure, thanks. It really did evolve from that first farm stand so many years ago. And now it's really grown. So we have two wine estates here in Napa Valley, one in the Rutherford Bench where our farmer stand originally was. We have 90 acres there, all certified organically grown. We have about 7 acres devoted to produce, fruits, vegetables. Our egg-laying chickens live there, our apiaries for the bees. And then up in the Mayacamas Mountains, we have our home ranch, about over 600 acres. In addition to grapes, we have our olives for our olive oil. Grapes for wine. We have our bulls that live up there. The cattle live over in West Warren. It's another part of the operation, but the bulls get to roam free up in the mountains. And then, of course, we have Farmstead in St. Helena as the community hub for everything about Long Meadow Ranch. And then we expanded over to Mendocino County in Anderson Valley. We launched bought a beautiful property, 69 acres planted to Pinot Noir, Chardonnay. And that's all turned organic as well. That's the first thing we do when we come into a new piece of land. We immediately turn to organic farming. And then last year, just about a year ago, we acquired Stony Hill, the iconic, legendary producer on Spring Mountain, very close to Jared, on the lower part of Spring Mountain. And so that's been another endeavor that we've launched into. But really, that farmstead hub is where it all comes together. The full circle farming all comes together there.
And I think you're known because particularly, obviously, you're a California certified organic farmer, which is very important. I have to do a shout out for the cows because these are happy cows. I happened to be driving to Nick's Cove there through yes. Marshall. And there they were on the side of the road, lying down in the sun with their big horns and looking happy, happy. Yes. So good for you. So in addition to Laddie's involvement with our farmers market, Ted Hall has been actively involved in both St. Helena and the Napa Valley. And Ted is presently the chair of the Agricultural Education Advisory Committee for the St. Helena School District, as well as being a director of the Napa Valley Grape Growers. So for our listeners who have not had the good fortune to visit Farmstead and St. Helena, tell us what they will find there.
So at Farmstead, it really starts at about 7 a.m. when the cafe opens. We have this lovely outdoor cafe under a blue cypress tree and a big redwood tree nearby, picnic tables, Adirondack chairs, great coffee, Stumptown roasters, our own blend from Stumptown, pastries from our pastry chef, juices that we're making every morning. And that's a great way to start the day. It's a wonderful place, whether you're dropping off the kids or maybe doing yoga and pop into the cafe. And then it segues into the general store where we have wine tastings, as well as some food components there, which is great. We can buy our olive oil, our jams, our preserves, and some other local merchants' items. And of course, the restaurant. The restaurant is open daily starting 11:30 and serving all day long. And it's really our farm to our table. And it's really great. It's much more advanced than just saying farm to table. We have currently in the spring, about 80% of the produce, maybe even more, are coming from our own garden and ranch. And then we have private event spaces. So really, there's a lot of ways to experience it. And we have community events. So on top of that, we kind of give back to the community in various ways, one of which is it could be the Easter egg hunt in the spring or the pumpkin carving in the fall or a holiday celebration. Plus, guest chefs come out. We have a guest chef dining series, which is really exciting. We have live music, not only on July 4th, but you mentioned Ted at the end of the year. In October, we have our all-star big band that Ted is actually a part of. He's a flugelhorn player, and he plays in the big band and puts together this amazing show, all benefiting the Timothy Hall Foundation.
So tell us about that foundation. What does that...
Sure. So it's named in honor of Ted and Laddie's late son, Timothy, who passed at a young age. And in his young life, he was very passionate and involved in animal husbandry, the arts, and music. And so this foundation is a giving foundation, and we named it after him, and we take in contributions as well as then disperse them to local organizations supporting, again, music, the arts, and animal husbandry.
Isn't that great? We're going to come back and talk about some of the events you've got coming up. But I need to tell everybody about, well, two things. Firstly, Jeff has promised not to announce over the air how many of those wonderful cheddar biscuits I must have consumed in the last 10 years or whatever it is here. They're absolutely delicious at Farmstead. And one of my most popular favorite places in St. Helena is the cafe. So as you come in, just turn right. And as Jeff was saying, it's tucked away there on the right-hand side. Great things to eat, lovely coffee, and in particular, when it is even 100 degrees like we're going to have it this weekend, they have these great redwood trees, of course, which is cool, and in the winter, you have those heat lamps and the rugs that you can put on, and it's a real locals place, so everybody do stop by. So everybody always talks about your Maya Kamas estate experience. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the Maya Kamas estate experience is at our home ranch, at the winery, and also where we have our olive oil mill. And it's evolved over the years, and now this experience is offered every day, three times a day, advanced reservations. But basically, we start at Farmstead, and we take guests up in our vehicle so they can leave their car behind, up to the ranch. At the ranch, they'll taste through at least five different wines that are more of our limited production, often not available anywhere else except at the winery visit and the restaurant. So they'll taste through the wines, they'll explore the caves, they'll learn the history, not only the Longmeadow Ranch history, but going back to the 1870s, the history of the property, which really inspired Ted and Laddie and Chris to make this biodiverse ranch. In addition, they'll get to see the olive oil mill, the Frantoio. We have an Italian stone mill that's really important part of our legacy and our history. And they'll taste the olive oil as well. And then we'll take them back to Farmstead. So it's about a two-hour experience. Real nice way to immerse yourself in Longmeadow Ranch, but also a different perspective of Napa Valley as you get to look at it from high up, perched up. We're, you know, again, talking about Jared, we're south of Spring Mountain, just north of Oakville. So we're at Rutherford, basically.
I had a chance to participate in that experience. It was fantastic.
Nice.
And it's the oldest olives, isn't that correct?
That's right.
In Napa, historically.
Yeah, certified oldest olive grove in Napa Valley.
Yeah, And the forest grew up around it, and then they found it and reclaimed it. So the olives are extremely tall because they were reaching for the sun that whole time.
Super.
It's a really magical space.
Exactly.
So for our listeners, as you come north and you come through Rutherford and you see Whitehall Lane, you look up on the left and you are way up there on
the
top.
Correct.
Beautiful.
You can barely see it too because the structure is really tucked into the mountain. And in fact, the architecture for the winery was designed by William Turnbull.
Yes.
And it's basically a rammed earth architecture. So we took all the excavated earth and then used that. So we only had to use about 5% of other structures, cement and steel, and the rest is the actual earth from the mountainside.
Just beautiful. So, Jeff, we talked just now about some of the events that you have coming up, but we can't let you go without talking about Farmstead's Corkage for Community program, which to date I think has raised more than $200,000 for local community-based non-for-profit organizations, including, may I say, the St. Helena Farmers Market. So how does the program work?
The program works, it's actually quite simple. It's a really amazing program, as you pointed out. We created it when we opened the restaurant to support local community-based nonprofit organizations every month. And so we collect a $5 corkage fee for every bottle that someone brings in. Never is a bottle waived. Everyone pays that corkage fee. And we then donate at the end of the month 100% of that money to the local organization. And local organizations can submit an online form for consideration as a recipient. And it can really move the needle for some of these small organizations. And like you said, it's been over $200,000 since we opened the restaurant. And we see no reason to stop that. This is an important part of our culture.
I think we're all extremely appreciative of that. So for our listeners, the St. Helena Farmers Market will be a recipient of this program next month. So please get yourselves to Farmstead. So Jeff, we are so, firstly, as a St. Helena here, we are so very grateful to have such a beautiful facility as Farmstead here in St. Helena. It's just everything Longmeadow Ranch does and all of you is such a quality operation. And for all the tremendous support we receive from the Hall family. Laddie is a great member of our board and really supports all of the growers very well. So we wish you much success with all of your future plans. Don't Thank ever you. Take those cheddar biscuits off the
no.
menu. It would just ruin my day.
And Laddie wishes she could be here.
Yes.
She's traveling in. But we'll be at the market tomorrow.
Yeah,
so.
We look forward to that.
Thanks,
you very much, Jeff. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Do you manage a vineyard in Napa County? Now's a great time to recycle your old or used harvest bin at Central Valley, your local and exclusive authorized distributor of macroplastics in Northern California. Receive a $20 trade-in credit toward the purchase of a new 24S macro bin, our most popular size, when you recycle your old or used macro bin. Trade in and trade up your macro bin at Central Valley. Promotion ends November 30th. See store for details or visit us online at central-valley.com. Central Valley, where farm work gets done.
Hi, this is Gigi from Lido Auto Body, located in the heart of Napa. Lido Auto Body has been serving the Napa Valley for 43 years, and we know the automotive industry. Our number one goal is customer satisfaction. Lido Auto Body works closely with our customers and insurance companies to get you and your vehicle back safely on the road. Remember, it's your choice where you go for repairs. Make it Lido Auto Body, 1725 Action Avenue, proudly serving the Napa community.
The city of Napa gets some NFL attention as the Oakland Raiders arrive in town. This is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. The Raider rookies actually arrived on Tuesday. The veterans will report tomorrow out at the Napa Valley Marriott for their camp in Napa at the Redwood Middle School Athletic Field. Their first squad practice will be on Saturday. Monday will be their first padded practice. National Hot Rod Association's in wine country this weekend at the Sonoma Nationals at their drag strip there. and the NHRA fans can take part in a Mellow Yellow walking tour there to go to the pits area. You can also attend Pro Stock Motorcycle School on Friday. Nitro School is also available. Sonoma Raceway is hosting Mellow Yellow Autograph Sessions, where you can meet your favorite drivers. And their racing series qualifying will feature two rounds on Friday, and then they have two rounds on Saturday with final eliminations on Sunday. First round of the NHRA Mickey Thompson Tire Pro Bike Battle is on Saturday at 1:15, then the semifinals 4:15, and the finals at 5:30. NBC Sports Wraps covers the Tour de France. This is the 106th year for that bicycle race. And this year, they will be concluding this weekend with live coverage. And the television rankings are up 11% from last year. San Francisco Giants, after winning the series against Chicago Cubs, are idle today. They'll open a series at San Diego starting tomorrow night. The Oakland A's lost 4-2 yesterday in Houston, and they come home to the Texas Rangers tonight, the start of a four-game series. Napa Silverados are idle today. They'll be at San Rafael tomorrow night at 6:30. Napa Valley Girls Fast Pitch Association playoffs continue tonight out at Kiwanis Park. This is the best of three in the second round. The major division at 6 o'clock tonight, it's Soskol Autobody against R.E. Mayer Construction. Then at about 8 o'clock tonight in the senior division, it'll be Brannigan Insurance against MIV Insurance. And also going on this evening at 5:30, the Hillside Christian Church is having a kids' fun run. They start and they end at the church. It's for kindergarten through fifth graders.
You are listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmer's Market. And you can also stream the show live on kvon.com. My name is Wendy Strawn. I'm the board president for the St. Helena Farmer's Market. Our weekly market provides exceptional seasonal produce from local farms and growers, as well as a wide array of prepared foods and a beautiful artisan goods. And we are privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us to also focus on a variety of community educational programs. With me in the studio this morning is Jeff Mizell, Vice President of Brand Development, Long Meadow Ranch, Sandy Sargent, Director of Health Services for Pacific Union College, and Jared Picard, owner of Be Here Farm and Nature. So we've had the good fortune to welcome back to the market this year Sandy Sargent, who is Director of Health Services for the Pacific Union College, who has been sharing important information on a number of key health topics at the farmers market. So Sandy, you live locally. I know your kids went to the St. Helena High School. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Thank you so much for having me today. We really appreciate the opportunity to meet with everybody and talk to you about not only Pacific Union College, but some of the things that we're doing as part of our community outreach project. As you said, I've lived in this area for quite some time. I hesitate to tell you I lived here from 1976 to now.
Wow.
Yes, and originally in Calistoga, and I began working at St. Helena Hospital in nursing management, and then segued into chemical dependency rehab. And I received my bachelor's of nursing and public health degree at Pacific Union College back in the day. And currently I'm the director of the college health clinic. It's a clinic that is specifically for students when they're ill, but it also takes care of on-the-clock employees whenever they're injured or need medical care. It's under the umbrella of Dr. John Wheeler, who has a full practice in St. Helena, who was actually Physician of the Year several years ago in the Napa Valley, and his physician assistant, Jennifer Smith, who has her PA through college down south, but she worked in the Sonoma area for years as an emergency room PA. And then she's also a certified athletic trainer, so she does a lot of work with our athletic program, women's health issues, so on and so forth.
Super. Gosh, I'm going to come and chat to you at the market. You must have been seeing so many changes since your time here.
Absolutely.
Goodness me, that's super. So many of our listeners will have driven past Pacific Union College, which, as you know, is a beautiful location up there in Angwin. You lucky thing, going to that every day. So give us just a little overview of the college itself.
Sure. The college has been in existence since it was purchased 130 years ago when it was called the Angwin Resort. Prior to that time, the college actually was located in Hillsburg, and then they acquired this lovely area. I always think of Angwin as this hidden gem that a lot of people miss as they're coming and visiting this area, because primarily the college kind of encompasses Angwin and its area. We are one of 13 college universities in North America. We're a fully accredited Seventh-day Adventist college. Our largest departments that we get the biggest draw of students is nursing, business administration, biology, exercise science, visual arts. So there's a wide variety of degree completions that are available. It has a strong academic reputation. Actually, the last several years, last 3 years, the U.S. News and World Report said that our school has the largest diversity in the United States, because we gather, even though we only have about 1,000 students total, there's a large diversity there. And also, CEO World named PUC one of the top six most beautiful colleges in America. So we're very proud of some of those.
Good for you. We can understand why.
Absolutely.
Few students get that view for a start, and it's just such all the facilities, and you see them up there. But good for you. Well-deserved awards. So you kindly told us before that the programs that you specifically oversee, and at the market, you've kindly shared your expertise in a number of topics at the market. So for the benefit of our listeners, can you just give us a brief description of each subject and the education objective that you're aiming to achieve?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It was an opportunity that we decided to capture, to come back down to the farmers market, to just kind of have informational things that maybe some people might be interested in, and try and be relevant to this time of year and to our community at large. So we kind of came up with several subjects that, I have to be honest with you, I'm not the best nurse when it comes to enjoying doing health screenings on people. Taking blood pressures all day gets kind of boring. So being informational and be able to be conversational with somebody is what I really enjoy as a nurse. And so I came up with several subject areas that I thought would be interesting. So we started out with water safety and sun safety, and segued that into dealing with cancer, skin cancer detection, screening, how you can go about doing that so that you would stay healthier, pool safety for young children and for families, and helping them understand what to do, like if somebody is potentially drowning or if somebody's in need of CPR. Every time that we do come to the farmers market, we are providing training, if anyone wants it, on hands-only CPR. We also did a segment on anaphylaxis, bee stings, treatments, prevention for allergy responses for this time of year, and kind of what's happening in the body in regard to allergies and anaphylaxis recognition and prevention. And then just last week, we did a segment on diabetes prevention, doing ideal body weight, choices between healthy foods and unhealthy foods, which cracked me up. We had a display that had a beer bottle and cigarettes and Doritos and all this junk to eat and then all this healthy food. And all these little kids would come up and they go, can I have that Reese's peanut butter cup? And I'm like, no, you want to eat this over here. And then kind of like give more visuals about health and wellness. One of the things that our church has been very well known for is eating healthy. Our Angwin Market does not sell certain things because we're looking at more fresh fruits, vegetables, and it goes really well in line with the farmers market's philosophy of organic and eating healthfully. And then we also are doing one on stress management. We have a lot of toys for kids and a lot of interactive things, stress balls to play with. And then we also have been doing things on proper hydration and the medical advantages of proper hydration. So that kind of gives you an overview of the subjects. And they can shift and change, and people come up to us and talk to us about a lot of different things. While we're there, because they see a medical person and they might have a question, and we're more than happy to dialogue with anybody about any of those things as well.
And you know, Sandy, you're such a great addition to the market. So everybody, when you go to see Sandy, as you can sense from listening to her, obviously she's great at explaining everything, but her display is just super. And all of the handouts, you know, I was talking to a mum that was just there that had a swimming pool, and she said, this is just an eye-opener. You know, it was going back about swimming pool safety. She had two little kids.
With my duckies.
With your duckies.
I have little duckies. The first year I had the duckies, I didn't get the weighted ones, and they floated upside down. That wasn't a really good visual.
No, that's
visual.
Not a good
but
visual.
But now they're right side up. Yes, and they look much better.
So as a regular layman, Sandy, there is so much information out there, and I know it confuses all of us, but where do you get your information from?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I guess after being a nurse for 40-some years, there's a certain amount of osmosis occurring where you just absorb it. So some of it is from my experience, but most of the time, the handouts that we're giving, we want one page down and dirty just so that people can go away with something that they can you know, grasp and understand. So the CDC website is one of the best places to go, and I encourage people to go to that if you're ever researching kind of like the latest evidence-based kind of things regarding...
And what does CDC stand for?
It's www.cdc.gov. It's a government website. There's also two
Sorry, that's Centers for Disease
Control.
Centers
for Disease Control the federal government.
Perfect.
And then another website that is kind of basic for people is familydoctor.org, and it has an alphabetical listing of diseases and conditions, and you can even put in a symptom, and it might direct you to different links and things that might help you as well.
That's great. So we'll make a note of that. Thank you so much. So, Sandy, you're going to be at the market tomorrow. What What topics are you going to cover tomorrow?
I think that I'm going to bring it back around, and we're going to be doing the water sun safety tomorrow, because we did that at the beginning of the summer, and we're going to repeat that one. It's a good draw with our kiddie pool and duckies.
And it's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow, so it's probably...
I'll put my feet in it, right?
Well, I have to say, so, you know, we have to give full marks to Sandy, because she's now normally at work, so she's taking the time and the effort to come to the market, and we really appreciate it. We're extremely grateful both to you, Sandy, and to the Pacific Union College, and we hope that we can welcome you and the ducks and the pool back to the market next year. Do you know when your last day is at the market, roughly?
Probably the end of August.
End of August, okay. Thank you, Sandy, very much.
You're
welcome.
We're
going to send Jared to come and see you. You can pop over and look and see what Sandy has tomorrow. So we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Downtown Joe's Brewery and Restaurant, celebrating 25 years of serving up hearty, fresh comfort food in downtown Napa. Downtown Joe's Brewery and Restaurant deliciousness menu options like our hot pastrami Reuben, in-house cured and smoked pastrami, Swiss cheese, fresh kraut, and Thousand Island dressing. Or the blackened salmon roasted garlic Caesar, baby romaine hearts chopped to order, house-dressed with croutons and shaved parmesan. Downtown Joe's Brewery and Restaurant. Feel good about fresh.
So I'm having this debate with a landlord.
I said, no pets. Can't rent you the apartment.
My dog is not a pet. Look, I'm legally blind. I need my guide dog.
Sorry, those are the rules.
Rules that allow for housing discrimination? So I made a call. Turns out, landlords must make reasonable accommodations for assistance animals.
If you think you've been discriminated against, call your local Fair Housing Center.
Fair Housing is your right. Use it.
Call Fair Housing Napa Valley at 707-224-9720.
You are listening to Napa's KVON, 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmers Market. And you can also stream the show live on kvon.com. My name is Wendy Strawn, board president for the St. Helena Farmers Market, and my wonderful guests this morning are Jeff Mazel, vice president of brand development for Long Meadow Ranch, Sandy Sargent, director of health services for Pacific Union College, and we're just about to talk to Jared Picard, who's the owner of this beautiful Be Here Farm in Nature and one of our most popular growers at the market. Just before I talk to Jared, Sandy just mentioned that for hands-free CPR... hands-only CPR, that the Napa Fire Station is holding some training tomorrow. Saturday at 9 o'clock, so people can just go online to their website and see. Thank you very much. Okay, one of the most beautiful booths at our market belongs to Be Here Farm and Nature, who joined our team of growers in 2018. So the farm is the anchor of Jared and Valisa Picard's plan to open a boutique luxury resort. It's going to feature 9 guest cottages, a 300-acre nature sanctuary, and a world-class restaurant and spa, all of which is going to be open to overnight guests at the end of construction in 2022 at the peak of Spring Mountain. Now, this is a wonderful story, as you're going to find out from Jared's background. So as a previous New Yorker, Jared, what triggered your plan to start this project on Spring Mountain?
All right. Thank you, Wendy, and thank you for all the nice things you said. We're honored to be here to talk about all this and how much we love being at the farmers market. It's been so much fun for the last 2 seasons. So the project for us started really, well, I was working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, so it's probably 2008, and I was a few years out of college. I had attended Oberlin College, which is a small but passionate following, so I mention it for anyone who's interested. But I had sort of a pipe dream, I would say, of after some unclear trajectory on Wall Street or whatever that led to, I would hopefully one day have a entrepreneurial business stacked on top of a sustainable farm. That was sort of the seed of the idea. But it was really a pipe dream. I didn't have any idea on how that would become a reality. And then my father, who had just retired from a 30-some-odd-year career on Wall Street, and we were driving in the car together. And at this time, he was living in Florida. I was living in Manhattan or Brooklyn. And, we speak regularly, but saw each other a couple times a year. I was a 20-something, kid at that time. And so we're in the car together, and maybe he doesn't know about all of my passions, my pipe dream, et cetera, because maybe it's something I'm kind of keeping to myself a little bit at that time. But he starts sharing with me his new dream, which was he and his wife, Christina, wanted to develop a property out in nature. They were thinking in Idaho, where they had a vacation home. They wanted a property with a farm and animals and a water supply and solar power, guest houses for their family. And they wanted all these different things, which oddly, for someone working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, I had spent the last couple of years researching. And so I was sitting in the back of the car hearing what he was saying to me. And actually, I think imagining it in far greater detail than he even was at that time, because he just had this idea of this vacation home with all these things. And I was realizing that it was actually a 365-day job to create that. For him to be able to show up at that on the days he wanted to, there's 365 days of managing all those different complex systems. And so I'm sitting there picturing what he's saying to me. And as I'm picturing it, I realized that the person I see in the imagination is me. I'm sitting there managing it. And I realized that my pipe dream is actually alive inside his actual current reality and dream and plan. So at that moment, I sort of shared with him how my idea would be to commercialize that idea and share it with a small amount of people at a time. So in a means to create it and to support it indefinitely, sort of in a multi-generational way. because I had learned that sustainable agriculture acts in a regenerative way, and I was living in Brooklyn, meaning that it would improve over time. And I was living in Brooklyn, and I was aware of the farm-to-table food scene that was sort of exploding in 2007, 2008 in Brooklyn. And after the recession, a lot of people started really small artisanal boutique businesses when they lost their corporate jobs. So I see all these people doing all these creative things, and that energy just kind of spit me out of the city and sent me off on this path, which we're still on.
So firstly, it's obviously in your genes, so that was a great start there. But why Napa Valley or Sonoma? How did you end up there specifically?
I know what you're getting at, because you know the story, but I'm afraid I don't know if I can keep it concise, but you're asking me and I'll try to share.
Well, I think, weren't you on vacation or something?
Well, it's only in retrospect did we realize any of this. It really is true that in 2008 we came here on vacation while I was working on the floor, and my wife was working in marketing for Bloomingdale's at that time. And we took a six-day vacation. We came out here and stayed at Calistoga Ranch, and we didn't know anything about wine country. I did have a random sort of idea in my head that Northern California was somehow a place that I resonated with, and maybe that's why we came here on vacation, because it certainly wasn't wine as our main interest, but when in Rome, right? So we asked the concierge to recommend some wineries for us that would be a little bit smaller and off the beaten path, that just kind of what we thought we might like. And we went to those wineries. We had a great trip. And in real time, that was kind of all that happened. And we came back to the airport, and Lehman Brothers or AIG, whichever was the first major news of that recession, while I was on vacation, that news hit. So I went on vacation, and I came back to the entire industry and economy sort of crumbling. And that was just interesting sort of feeling.
It was all meant to be.
Right, it was an interesting feeling to just really have the environment around me at work be so negative that I could kind of come up with an alternative vision for the future for myself, because I couldn't see the future when I was working in that industry.
Well, it was obviously all meant to be. So once you were committed to this project, you quit your jobs in New York, and you embarked on a two-year self-designed apprenticeship program. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the first step was, we had that seed idea. We wanted an entrepreneurial vision stacked on top of a farm. And so without much more of an idea, but knowing that I just had this real sense that if I didn't start working on this, it wasn't ever going to happen. And 9 years later, I mean, that was probably good thinking, because it has taken quite a while. But the first step was to learn something about farming. I knew one day if I would be managing a farm, which at this time I am. I'm not the farmer. We have a farm director whose name is Eitan, and he should come here and speak for himself, but I could speak a whole show about how incredibly talented and grounded and just beautiful person in addition to our team he is. But I thought if I was going to have any way of managing that or making that be a core of our business, that I needed to learn about it. So I took on a farming apprenticeship for a biodynamic farmer and restaurateur in Athens, Georgia, who owned several farms and restaurants that he was supplying the food for from his own farms. And I chose to do that just because I knew of my own seed idea at that time was more than just agriculture on its own. So I wanted to see it in a sort of complex relationship with businesses.
And then your wife, Felissa, she joined a year later to run, and then you went their own farm in Georgia and to learn about sustainable farming practices. And then, this is a very famous environment here, your next stop was working with the executive management team of Blackberry Farm, which of course is very famous in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains.
It's a relay chateau resort.
Yes.
It was about 2 weeks after we proposed to them our idea, which was that the two of us would come in as a team of unpaid apprenticeships and work for on the front lines, basically, of all their departments, as well as shadowing the manager. So we would work with the executive management team. We also had access to the executive meetings and planning and all of the sort of insight that we would need to see how that business was run. Including human resources, accounting, legal, all these different areas. And then we worked as the, you know, bartender, concierge, breakfast cook, baggage guy, you know, maintenance.
Good for you.
Every single department.
Which is so important.
We rotated through them all.
Yes.
So that was our education.
And then the icing on the cake was that you went to Rome for a whole tour of Agriturismos, which became the whole model and inspiration for Be Here. So we have to give you full marks. I mean, not many people will have prepared as well as you have. So you are really in good shape to
operate. You know, the idea is that we're commercializing our ideal lifestyle. So,
yes.
I mean, if it wasn't for the existence of this project, I probably wouldn't have a 300-acre property. I probably wouldn't have a biodynamic farm.
Yes.
I probably wouldn't have a chef who lives on our property in the future, or a spa. And so these are things that we deeply desired. And so by creating them as this commercial offering, we're actually the benefactors of.
Good for you.
That.
And I had, Jared, as you know, I had the good fortune to visit your property, gosh, way back in September 2017. It has the most breathtaking views. You feel as though you're on top of the world. Because you straddle the county line, don't you, between Napa and Sonoma. So it's 15 minutes outside of St. Helena, 45 minutes outside of Santa Rosa, as the crow flies, of course, as well as, obviously, to the city of Napa. So just very quickly, what is your vision for the resort?
Well, the resort, on the surface, is a destination hospitality experience. And being in wine country, I mean, the objective for the resort in that capacity is to compete with the existing luxury resort market. But beyond the fact that people can book it like a hotel and come stay with us for the night, I think it's quite different than the existing sort of model of resort. And starting with the fact that there's a real desire to connect people with nature. And so we have 300 acres of nature, and there'll be a lot of activities designed for people to participate in, and it's all at their interest level. So people can come just for that surface, I wouldn't say superficial, but just surface experience of this is a luxury resort. They can come, they can relax by the pool, they can have great amenities, great service, great food, great spa. But if they're interested, they can dive into our nature programming, they can participate in maybe cooking experiences or farming experiences, or they can curate something very specific to themselves, which is the whole idea of our scale, which is 9 rooms. So the luxury resort competitors typically have 50 to 100 rooms. And so our intention was to create a scale that was so small that we could customize experiences for people. And so somebody might be coming into this region for some sort of surgery in San Francisco, and they might want to stay with us for 2 weeks before or after to meditate, to be in nature, to eat clean food, and to do certain things that would prepare before or after. And it doesn't have to be, of course, medical. It could be any reason why somebody would want to come and participate in this environment, which is really it's sort of a build-your-own adventure.
I mean, if I was staying there, I'd probably not want to leave, stay there, because it is so beautiful. You would just want to stay there for the whole time. And although you can easily get to Calistoga or St. Helena, it's just breathtaking up there.
It's completely accessible, but I do find myself not leaving.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. So we're happy you got out today to come down to
and every
Napa.
Friday. Now
this
come
is
down.
A big event. And then, yes, at the farmer's market.
Right, exactly.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So when Jared very kindly invited us to have a look at the project, obviously that the farm was the major link and is now well underway. You talked about Eitan, who's your farm manager, who we all love and does such a great job. You talked about this biodynamic farming. Can you for our listeners, just explain exactly what you mean by that?
Yeah, so we're a certified biodynamic farm, which is considered maybe to be a regenerative farming practice. It views the farm as an entire farm ecosystem that's interconnected with the larger ecosystem, and that includes basically all that is. I mean, that the biodynamic perspective takes into account the relationship of the planet Earth with the other planets and stars and the cosmic cycles. Mm-hmm. And over time, that has translated into basically a planting calendar which drives a lot of the rhythms of the biodynamic year. And so, for example, one of those observations might be that certain relationships between stars and planets are a particularly good day for root crops or a leaf crop, but let's say a root crop. So we know we're planting a root in the ground. We will open up that soil on a root day, and maybe 10 or 12 days later, Eitan would be better to get specific. I'm more executive produced this situation.
But we get what you're saying, though.
On the next root day, we might add some amendments to that soil. On the next root day, we might plant it in the ground. And then on every root day thereafter, we'll apply our biodynamic preps to that, which is short for preparations. And it basically is the real heart of the biodynamic protocols, which is that we hardly import anything to create our fertility. We import, as opposed to blood meal, chicken feathers, bone meal, synthetic organic fertilizers, and the different options that are out there, we import grass-fed cow manure, neem oil, and fish scraps, basically. And everything else we grow or forage in the wild and then transform in some way, either ferment or compost. These preparations usually all then end up in the compost pile, which then gets applied to the ground. So before we even plant something, we're working for sometimes two and a half years to create the valerian prep, for example. That flowers in its second year. We then take those flowers, press them, and that ends up getting buried in the ground as well, I believe, unless Eitan will correct me after the show.
He's probably listening. We'll hear all about it tomorrow morning.
So it's very complicated.
Yeah, but it sounds great.
And we create our own inputs is basically the heart of that.
Good for you. So one other thing, which when for our listeners, you have to stop by and see their booth, because the beautiful produce, they're beautiful flowers, and they've now got a whole new line of skincare, which I can tell you about when you go and have a look, and it's proving to be very popular. We've tried it ourselves. But looking back on your previous life as a trader on the New York Stock Exchange, what are some of the lessons you've learned from this remarkable adventure?
You know, I think that for me, the only real lesson was about beginning my journey sort of inward and learning about mindfulness and meditation practice, which ultimately led me to quiet myself down and realize what I was passionate about. And so I would just recommend, that if I had any lesson to take away, it would be the sort of the journey inward into myself, to which brought out a huge wealth of creativity that I wasn't aware of prior.
And I think for those of us here in the studio listening to your story, we have to salute you just for being so prepared. And as ex-hotelier here, I think it's just great you've done all the departments. It really is so important. So congratulations for that. Jared, we're thrilled to have you at the market. We wish you and Valissa all possible success with the exciting project. We're going to keep tabs on your opening date. We'll come and visit you there, and we're going to see you in the morning at the market.
And on Instagram.
At Be Here Farm.
That's the best way to follow us.
Okay, I hope you all got that, everybody. Thank you, Jared, very much. We're going to take a quick break.
At Napa Valley College, we're more than classrooms and laboratories.
We are hospitality, cooking, and culinary.
We are photography and ceramics.
We are theater, music, art, and dance.
We are basketball, volleyball, and swimming.
We are community.
Find your passion. Find your future here.
Late start credit and community education classes are available now through November.
Review these classes and much more at napavalley.edu.
You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmers Market. My name is Wendy Strawn, board president for the St. Helena Farmers Market, and we hope today's listeners will join us tomorrow at the market. We're in beautiful Crane Park. Remember, Fridays, 7:30 to 12, all the way through October. But before we close, we must mention that tomorrow we'll have Chef Cindy Paulson from Mustard's Grill and lots of other entities she has at the chef's table for a demonstration at 10:30 a.m. Cindy is one of our most popular demonstrators, so make sure you come and get some great tips from Cindy, have some delicious samples and a copy of the recipe. And we are very grateful to Bressler Vineyards, who are the sponsors for the chef's table. To keep up to date with market happenings, we encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter. You can find us at sthelenafarmersmarket.org, and you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Kelly Foster, board member, will be back on August the 8th with more market happenings. And we thank our wonderful guests and our listeners. And this has been another Farmers Fresh Hour brought to you by American AgCredit, Money for Agriculture. Good morning, everybody.